For a message this morning, you may open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Fathers, how do you get your children to go out at night? They forgot to put their toys away, or they forgot to take the garbage out. What works for you? Do you promise them a lollipop, or do you give them a threat of punishment? What's the greatest incentive and motivation? Well, many years ago, there was a child of God that was to go out. And he told God about it. He struggled. And God had an answer. In chapter Exodus 33:14. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider thy nation, this people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It was God's answer to his child struggling to go out. God's call on Moses' life was very difficult to accept at first. We know the story of how he was back and forth and, God, I can't speak. I don't think I can't do it. But he did obey. And then he had the troublesome beginning there with the plagues and working with Pharaoh, and Moses was, I believe, fairly discouraged. And he shared that with God. And in Exodus 32, there's just another major disappointment. And they made the calf, and God was very angry, rightfully angry. Moses was very disappointed. In verse 12, God said, you see, you said, bring up this people, but you've not told me who you're going to send with me. I don't have the plan. Give me some specific directions. You know, he was fearful to go out. And God says to Moses, this is my plan. My plan, Moses, is my presence shall go with thee. Our hearts can cry out much the same way at times as Moses. And we ask God to take away the mist of the unknown future and give a life map of what's ahead. What can we expect, God? And God doesn't give anything. Instead, a precious promise from God. And he says, my child, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. We'd like to read Exodus chapter 33, verses 8 through 17, and apply these truths to us today. Verse 8 of Exodus 13, and it came to pass when Moses went out from the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Title of the message is, My Presence Shall Go With Thee. My desire is to share a message of encouragement that we can consider the outworkings of the presence of God. It's a beautiful story here of God being willing to support Moses. If you read the previous verses, God had said that, I won't go with you. You're a stiff-necked people, and I better not go with you because I may consume you on the way because you're so stiff-necked. But Moses appealed to God. He interceded for them and pled. And we have God saying, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. For an outline, I'd like to use an acrostic with the words, My presence. For the letter M of the word Moses, think about Moses for a little. Moses entered this world in a unique way. Not many children enter this world, and they enter it with the need to be hid. He needed to be hid. A birth and a child to be kept secret for 3 months. When he could no longer be hid, his mother made a ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and pitch, and put it by the river's edge and said, Big sister Miriam, you stand by there and you watch. It's according to the story in Exodus chapter 2. We would look on that situation and we would say, well, that's a pretty precarious situation. It's rather delicate. What's going to happen? We could say, well, it just depends. Was the future as delicate as what it appeared? I think we should say no, absolutely no. It wasn't as delicate as it appeared. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 6, And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. He was one of the Hebrews' children, but he was also one of God's children. So it was not a precarious situation. He was God's child. He was a crying baby, yes, but he would grow up and he would become a man that God desired to talk to. Now, isn't that amazing, brethren and sisters? Someone that at one point was not. Then a little baby in a little ark by the side of a river. And then years later being a man that the creator of the universe talks to and has a relationship with. We have that in verse 11. how the Lord spoke unto Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Moving on to the letter Y. In verse 13, I put this verse into one word, and that is yearning. This verse describes a tender, urgent longing. To long, the word yearning means to long persistently. And I believe this describes Moses' expressions in verse 13. And he's earnestly praying for God's acceptance and God's guidance. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." This morning, fellow Christians, if God seems far away and the fire of our faith is at a low ebb, I say, don't give up. What can stoke the fire of faith, get those embers glowing again more than the presence of God? Let's persistently yearn for His presence. Let's not be satisfied, brethren and sisters, until our faith and love is aflame again. Yearning. I notice a yearning here in Moses. He was yearning for God, God's help, God's direction. We need that ourselves. Do we have that in our life, a yearning, where we cry out to God? And we say prayers that are similar to Moses. I pray thee, God, look my way, help me. In our hours of need. Moving on to the word presence, the letter P is, I have personal. In verse 17, God says, "I know thee by name." We have lots of different relationships. We have co-workers, and maybe you have a pen pal, parents, brothers, sisters, accountant. You know, our expectations vary a lot with the type of relationship that we have. You know, we'd be a little surprised if the UPS man that drops a package off would ask us what we had for breakfast. We'd say, well, that's pretty personal. Our wife comes home and asks that. It's okay. What kind of relationship does God want with us? Think about Moses. Thinking that he, as I mentioned before, at one time he was not, then he was that crying baby along a river, and now a man. And now God is speaking to him. And how is he speaking? As a man speaks to a telemarketer? No, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Not excusing not talking nicely to telemarketers, but notice that in verse 11. Lord speaketh unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Presence of God calls for a personal relationship. Moving on to letter R is rest. The presence of God brings rest. In verse 14, I will give thee rest. In the absence of God, there is restlessness. We are restless until we find rest in God. And we find that rest in God through Jesus Christ. You know, so often when there's a vacancy, we've put a replacement in. And many people, maybe we do, put a replacement in. for God. At times when God is missing, when God is missing, when God is absent at the table, we have some options. We can pretend like, well, he's there when we know he's not here. Many people put a dummy, so to speak, a replacement to God. May we understand and believe that spiritual rest only comes in the presence of God. And there's nothing that's going to replace God and bring rest to the soul, rest to us. And we see that in the world, a searching after this and that, and all the fancy trucks and the fancy properties and the pleasures and the sports, and there's a searching going on. And yet, I'm saddened when I read in the paper, and I just read recently, well, he caved in. He was 30-some years old, but they mentioned his drug problem, and there's suicide, and those that just give up. The answer is God. The presence of God in one's life will bring rest. The letter E is encourages. Yeah, his presence encourages us. His presence is proof of his love, his care, and his interest in us. When God is present with us, it's a declaration of interest, a declaration of commitment. His presence is a declaration of commitment. If your governor would say, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to be at your service every time here at this place, you would be astounded, wouldn't you? You would say, wow, what a commitment from our governor. Well, what does Jesus say? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Why does Jesus come? Why do we believe with confidence that Jesus is present? Well, it's because of his love. It's because, brethren and sisters, he's died for those two or three. And he has an interest in the individual life of each one. He's deeply interested in helping people. He wants to help people so they're gathered in the future gathering, when it's going to be every tribe and nation and tongue that are gathered to worship together and praise him. So it's encouraging. Think about the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, that he's not in the fringes. He's not on the fringes, but he's in the midst because of his interest and love in us as individuals and us as a church. Letter S is separates. We notice that in verse 16. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Because why? Because we found grace in God's sight. And because of that grace in God's sight, there's acceptance that God goes with us. Will God go with us if we are one with the world? We know the answer is no. God will not go with us. And that's something that we need to think about. We have the story of Samson. God was with him. But in Judges 16:20, And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out at other times before and shake myself. And we have these words. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The presence of God had left. And he no longer had the power to do what was miraculous. He had miraculous strength. Samson illustrates very clearly that when we're no longer separated from the world, we lose our strength. And what's so alarming is that he wist it not. And I believe that happens today. You know, he compromised, and he took that honey out of the carcass, and that was a compromise. He wasn't to touch anything dead. But he suffered greatly for his failures. You know, he lost his eyes. It was day after day grinding millstone. When we sense God's presence leaving, we need to be alarmed. We need to separate ourselves from sin. We need to understand that God's presence and sin just do not mix. They just do not mix. We cannot have sin in our life and expect that we're going to also have the presence of God. We need to deal with our sin. We need to take care of our sin. We need to confess our sin. We need to forsake our sin. We need to put our sin under the blood of Jesus. And then we can have the presence of God. Going on, the letter E for the word presence. The first E is end. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Matthew 28:20. Matthew 24:3, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, what shall be the signs of the end of the world? And Jesus gave a list of things in Matthew 24. He said famines and pestilence and earthquakes. It's rather clear that we have the signs that Jesus is coming back. We have those things, those pestilences. And as I was out here, one of the things I was trying to take care of is get a certificate. We have turkeys that need to be monitored and take blood every month, and we have to have that to move them, and it makes a big problem if you don't have that. But it's a sign of pestilences, and we have that with this COVID thing. But it should be not alarming to us. It's just a reminder that we are in end times, brethren and sisters. And Jesus is coming back. We are in end times. Can we come through to the end and be found faithful? But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We have that in Matthew 24:13. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Will you and I be able to endure to the very end? Or will we somehow putter out in our Christian life and not make it out to the end? This morning we have good news in that Jesus will be with us to the very end. He will. My presence will go with thee and I will give thee rest. The question is, will we stay with him till the very end? That's the question we need to think about. Moving on to letter N is the word necessity. Thinking of our text in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. Moses said, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses was keenly aware of the great necessity to have God with him. And he said, note that my presence, if you go not with me, carry us not up hence. saying it just cannot be otherwise. Without God's presence, this is an impossibility. Moses was committed to not taking one step without God. And that's the way it needs to be for us, not that we don't want to take one step without God. We need God. Am I committed like Moses? Am I convinced like Moses that God's presence is so important in my marriage, in my work, in my home, in my personal life, in my church work? That God's presence just needs to be in everything. And if it's not, then we can't take another step. Brethren and sisters, it's just that important. It's very critical. May we have the courage to stop if God's presence is absent. It doesn't matter what the price is, it needs to be paid. And that may be a painful price to stop because we had some big plans. But we stop. We stop. Moving on to C, the word presence is comforting. God's presence is comforting. Someone wrote how comforting it is to a child's security knowing that father's at home. The thunderstorms lose their intensity. The things that go bump in the night are less frightening when father is at home. And how true that is, I believe. I think children would agree to that. Sometimes there's some scary sounds. I remember one time we had quite a sound, and I just went outside and tried to figure out what that sound was. And it was sometime later that I noticed the spring on one of the garage doors had broken. I believe that's what made that sound. One of those, it was under tension, and it broke and made quite a rattling sound. But those nights in the sound can be scary. But we think about our world and our spiritual life and the challenges of life and the disappointments of life. God's presence is comforting to us. There was a story, and you probably heard this before, about a man that pulled off the road in his Model T Ford because of car trouble. And he made a few adjustments, but still, he just couldn't get it to run. And then there was a limousine that pulled up, and he was a slender, energetic man got out and said, maybe I can help you. And the man said, he began tinkering under the hood. Now, he said, try it. The stranger suggested stepping aside. The engine started the first crank, and then the man identified himself. I'm Henry Ford. I designed and built these cars, so I know what to do when something goes wrong. Just so we can confidently turn to God in every difficult situation, because why? Because he's created us, and he understands our deepest need. He understands our deepest feelings. Presence of Christ is comforting. He's always there. Oh, the blessed joy of knowing Christ our Lord is always there, keeping, guiding, helping, loving, ever listening to our prayer, walking with us every moment, giving peace for all our fear, whispering his words of comfort, telling us that he is near, never failing us, his children, touched with all our grief and pain, watching when we're sorely tempted, always ready to sustain. None can tell the joy of knowing this most precious, loving friend, and best of all, our Lord with us, even to the very end. What a comfort to us, no matter what we face in life. The presence of Christ. The last E is eternally. Eternally. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. I'd like to read Revelation 21, 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Brethren and sisters, what a verse. That we would be in the presence of God forever. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Never to leave, to be with God forever. That should stir our hearts. That God himself shall be with them. How long? Well, eternally, from age to age. On and on and on, never stopping. God's presence eternally. And those conditions of being with God forever we have in verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's a sobering thing to think of it this morning, that every soul that has ever lived on the face of the earth will fall into two different groups. It's the group that is in God's presence, and the group that is not in God's presence. Those that are, God is absent. And it will be that way forever, never changing. So, brethren and sisters, this is very serious. It's very serious to think about it. If I don't have God's presence in my life now, we sure want it to change so it can be there all eternally. I'm thankful that today we can read God's word. And we can know where we are with God. We can discover whether we have God with us, whether God's presence is in our life, or whether it's not. And we can be at rest with the future. Well, in conclusion, my prayer is that we would be like Moses. And that we would be deeply yearning for God's presence. We read that and we see we cannot question Moses yearning, his deep desire and saying, God, please, I need you. Go with us. Because earlier God said, I wasn't going to. He went with Moses in a personal way. May that be our heart cry to God, no matter where we find ourselves in life circumstances, that we have God. May we yearn for it, and I have confidence that God will answer the plea, just like he answered Moses. God responded. He wasn't quiet to Moses. Just one more psalm here in closing. Practice the presence of God. Do you yearn for the peace from above, the wonderful gift of his love, for fellowship sweet as you sit at his feet? Then practice the presence of God. Do you long for the quiet of life, for calm mid the tumult and strife, for freedom and light in the midst of the fight? Then practice the presence of God. Are you anxious to conquer your sin? The battle for Jesus to win. When Satan is near and the struggle is severe, then practice the presence of God. Have you pled for the heavenly rest, with peace from above to be blessed, that sweeter shall grow as you journey below? Then practice the presence of God. May God bless us and help us. Let's kneel for prayer.